Okay, this is Monday, October 21st. It's all right.
Good evening.
Good evening.
Well, as usual, it's nice to see gods and goddesses in this room. I hope that that is finally sinking into you, and you're realizing that you are connected to the universe. You're not only connected to the universe, you're connected to everything, and we're all connected to each other. And that's what we have to remember. There's only one life, and that life is the life of God. It may be individualized in each and every one of us, but there's only one life, and we are connected. So that's why we feel sympathy and all, and apathy and all the different things for people, because we're connected to them. So let's try to remember that. Now, what I'd like to bring up are some other things. Does anyone remember what you're supposed to remember about yourself?
That we're always being taken care of.
Yes. You're always being taken care of. This is something that you have to drill yourself. You have to tell yourself constantly that you're being taken care of. And the more you tell yourself you're being taken care of, you will start to notice that that is absolutely true. That something comes from somewhere. Because this thing called God is working in as and through everyone. So if you're expecting it to come directly from God, that is a possibility. But maybe somebody else, but that's God working through those people. So we have to know that we're always being taken care of, that things are going to work out, that everything is all right. Now, with that said, I had a client on Saturday, 70 years old, and she said no one had ever told her that she was wonderful. 70 years old. I said, well, then you have to do that for yourself. You have to tell yourself that you're wonderful. Remember we used to do wonderful, wonderful me and look in the mirror? So I explained that all to her. It's very difficult to get to be 70, I think, and never not know that you're wonderful. And she is a wonderful human being. It's, you know, it's no exaggeration. But she never heard it. She said her children never told her that. Her husband never told her. No one ever told her that she was wonderful. She said, although I tell my children that they're wonderful, I said, but if you don't get it from them, do it for yourself. See, that's the most marvelous thing about this. If you don't get it from somebody else, give it to yourself. You can give yourself that gift. And that's what we want to do, is we want to give ourselves this gift. Don't sit around waiting, excuse me, for somebody else to say you're wonderful or you're great or you're intelligent or you're this, that, and the other thing. Do it for yourself. We're always talking to ourselves. We're always making affirmations. But most people are making the wrong affirmations. So start making the right affirmations. I am a wonderful human being. If you start out with that present that you're wonderful, that you're a wonderful human being, you will start to draw wonderful things into your life. And you will draw people into your life that are wonderful. And that's what we want to do. That's what this teaching is all about. It's about our mind. Everything is consciousness, people. Everything is consciousness. There's no such thing as the material world. There is only consciousness. Consciousness is making the material world. But there is no such thing as the material world. It's consciousness. Humans decide in advance how we're going to experience life. That we choose beforehand what we want to see. We choose beforehand what we want to see. Humans decide in advance how we're going to experience the world. And people with bad attitudes and so forth, that's all they see, and that's the world that they are seeing, and that's the world that they believe in. If you're in a world that you don't want, you can change it by changing your consciousness. And one of the ways to change your consciousness is to realize that you're a wonderful human being. So this whole idea of seeing what you want to see, you know, when you go to the movie, especially these complex movies that have 13 or 14 different movies, you choose the movie you want to see. You're choosing the movie you want to see. Your life is a movie. Choose the movie you want to see played out. See yourself the way you want to be. Not the way somebody else wants you to be, but the way you want to be. We have to. We have been so hoodwinked by the world that we think what we're seeing is real. Nothing that we're seeing is actually real. Remember, the eyes see nothing. It's the mind that sees, not the eyes. The eyes are just windows. That's all they are. But your mind, and then that's the interpretation that your mind is doing to you. So if you think that you're an awful human being, and you don't think that you're wonderful, then that is what you are going to see. That is what you're going to see. So learn to change those things for yourself. Learn to change them. That's why we do the matter dance. That's why we say to ourselves, I'm worthy, deserving, totally lovable, I matter. And I don't know if you two were here. We have now added, and there's absolutely nothing wrong with me. Absolutely nothing wrong with me. Our mind likes to tell us that there's something wrong. That person didn't talk to me. Must be something wrong with me. Must be something wrong with me. The mind immediately wants to tell you that there's something wrong with you. There is nothing wrong with you. Nothing in the world is wrong with you. Learn to accept that for yourself. Learn to tell yourself that. There's nothing wrong with me. And also, learn to choose the life that you want to choose. Say, use a visualization. I'm walking in to the movie, and I have a choice of all the movies I want to see. Why do I want to see one that I don't want? I want to see that movie. Go and see the movie that you want. You know, I don't like horror movies. I wouldn't go to one. I wouldn't go to see a horror movie. But so many people go to a horror movie and their life is horrible. You see? You don't want that for yourself. You want to be able to make your own world. And that's what you can do by changing your consciousness. The universe doesn't exist without a perceiver of that universe. This universe doesn't exist without us. We are the observers. And when we start to observe, we start to see what we want to see. So see what you want to see, not what's in front of you. That's not at all anything that's of any value whatsoever. The consciousness itself creates the material world. Scientists are now realizing that. You see, when I went to school, we were taught that there was matter, there was something about matter, and so that consciousness was never mentioned when I was growing up. When I went to school or when I went to college, consciousness was never mentioned. We knew such a thing, you know, as consciousness. No one ever talked about consciousness. No one ever told us that consciousness creates our reality, creates our world. It just didn't happen. And certainly, I never heard that it was my mind causing anything to happen when I was with the Lutherans for 20-some years. I grew up in the Lutheran church. They were only concerned with all that other stuff, you see. Only concerned with what it said in the Bible and whatever this was going on. They never said, Dallas, it's your consciousness that's causing your life. Learn to see what your consciousness is doing to you. Learn to see what your consciousness. If you don't like what you see in front of you, you can change it by changing the idea about yourself. Change that idea. Hold yourself, as I say, in the highest of esteem. Always hold yourself in the highest of esteem. And don't let anyone put you down. Do not do that. There are two fundamental things of physical reality: space and time. That's what we think. But we can't see space and we can't see time. These two physical mainstays are nothing but illusions. They're just illusions. They're optical illusions. Space and time are optical illusions. And we have been hoodwinked into believing that they are true. And here again, that is not taught to this day. You have to find this out on your own. There is not a school or a university that I know of that is teaching that. No, they do not teach it. They still want to go back to the idea of Newtonian physics. This one I love. And this is, I told you before that quantum physics is out almost 100 years already. People have known about quantum physics for almost 100 years and we do nothing about it. Simply because the textbooks don't say anything in school. So they do. People, listen to this one. Subatomic realms so defy all reason and logic that most scientists, scared to endanger their academic credentials, have more or less ignored the fact that life is nothing like what we pretend it is. Life is nothing like what we pretend it is. Where else do we get that? Not only with scientists, we get that with doctors. And we certainly get it with churches in this day and age. Because they're educated people. They're not going to rock the boat. They're not going to say, hey, listen here, it's your consciousness doing something. They're not going to say, let's look at quantum physics and see what these subparticles are really doing and how they really work. Because it's not in the mainstream. It's not in the mainstream of things. I am sure the little town that I come from in Duncannon, Pennsylvania, I'm sure very few people there have ever heard the word quantum physics. Or if they have heard it, they have no idea what it is. Because in that town, Newtonian physics is still being taught. And it's still being taught in our universities. And it's certainly being taught in our medical colleges and so forth. And what is wrong with Newtonian physics? The thing about Newtonian physics, not that it's wrong, but the concept of Newtonian physics is that we are parts and that those parts are interchangeable and that we can take those parts and do something with them. You can't do that. That is why doctors cannot figure out the body, because they want to take something away from the body. They want to put something into the body. The body is one unit. It knows what to do. And we want to replace parts, just like in a car, and think the thing is going to continue to run and so forth. It is not. Everything is interconnected. This idea of, if you know quantum physics and so forth, you then live in a field of total possibilities. And things pop up and they do different things. It defies logic. And your body does that. That is why we have spontaneous remissions and so forth, which baffle, absolutely baffle the medical profession. They may say, well, it's a spontaneous, but they'll always say it's going to come back. It's not going to last. They will not give that idea up. We have to take our blinders off. We have to start seeing the world differently. We have to start seeing ourselves differently. And certainly these physical bodies that our mind is creating. Your mind is creating your body. All you have to do is change your mind about your body. And your body will change. It has to listen to the mind. We're never taught that. We're taught all these other things. And we see so many things now that are completely different. How many people see, if you say consciousness is everything, and consciousness is determined everything in your life, then we have to throw out the concept of genes. We have to throw out the concept of DNA. And since DNA and consciousness is still taught everywhere, people believe that that's all there is. There's much more to it. Does anyone remember when you first heard of DNA? You never heard of DNA unless you heard of RNA. Do you ever hear anyone mention RNA anymore? No. When I was taught about DNA, of the spiral thing, you had to have RNA along with it. Now they don't even teach RNA anymore. So these are concepts that come and go in the world. They're concepts that come and go. But consciousness always remains the same. Your mind is the thing to think about. Don't worry about anything else except what you are thinking, what you are seeing, what you are doing. You can change that. You become a witness to your own thinking. We are puppets of our conditioning, and we think what we know is real. Very little that we know is real. Very little that we know is real. And what we do know is only 1% of what actually is going on. Only 1%. But we jump on that 1%. We can no longer jump on that 1%. We have to use our thinking, we have to use our mind, and we have to use our consciousness. I don't know how they have discovered this, but scientists now know that the brain receives 400 billion bits of information each second. 400 billion bits of information each second. Now, to give you a concept of what 400 billion is, if you wrote it down in zeros, it would take 600,000 books to complete. 600,000 books of zero, just zeros, to come up with 400 billion bits of information. So we are bombarded all the time with all this information. What do? We filter out what we don't want. And how do we filter out what we don't want? With our consciousness. Because we're always expecting something. And when you expect something, you start to get what you expect. So the rest of those 399 billion bits of information, you don't even deal with. They just go out of your consciousness, out of your mind. So see how powerful you are in this world. And we're getting more and more with the computers and with all this, this world of information, this the cloud, everything. I mean, there's information everywhere. Everywhere. But we have to pick and choose what we want. But we usually don't pick and choose. We let somebody else pick and choose for us, and we let other people tell us what the world is and what's going on and this, instead of doing it for yourself. Learn to think for yourself. Learn to think for yourself. We only experience things that jibe with our very limited perception. We have a limited perception about everything. Now we can change that perception and stretch and stretch and stretch our consciousness so that we see what we want to see. For thousands of years, people have been trying to get to heaven. You know, and they think, when I die, I'm going to go to heaven, wherever that is, someplace. We have to start, instead of going up to heaven, we have to bring heaven down. We have to bring heaven down to this plane of action. And we have to start living in heaven right here and right now. And will you do that again with your consciousness? Bring things down. Bring heaven down to this plane. Don't let it be something that's so far away and you have to wait till you make your transition before you get there. You can only get to heaven right here and right now. Now, that's one of the things in the Bible that's repeated and repeated and repeated, but no one ever listens to it. And what is that? The day of salvation is now. The day of salvation is now. But everyone thinks, oh, if I wait and I do and this and everything, salvation will come. Tell yourself right now that you're ready for salvation. Tell yourself right now that you're ready for salvation. I do a wonderful affirmation, and it's, I am ready for my ordination. I said, I am ready. I'm prepared myself. I am ready for my ordination. So do that for yourself so you start to see things differently. If you keep thinking the same thoughts that you had yesterday, how do you expect to change yourself or the world? Now, I forget the exact figure, but I think it's 99.1% of all the thoughts that we have today, we had yesterday. See, we just keep thinking the same thoughts over and over and over and over. Stop doing that to yourself. Say to yourself, I'm going to think something new. I'm going to see the world differently. I'm going to see myself differently. And then you will start to see that. We absolutely create our reality. We weren't dumped down here not to be able to do that. That's that whole idea that you have dominion. You have dominion over everything. And you certainly have dominion over your own thinking. So take charge of your thinking. See what you want to see. Do what you want to do. So many of us want to be someplace else or do something else. I don't want to be in this profession. I would like to be this or this or that or that. But there's a little element of fear in there somewhere. You have to give yourself permission. You cannot keep having that, what I call a divine urge or a nudge, and not let it come to fruition in your life. If you have that urge or that nudge constantly, then the universe is trying to tell you something. The universe is trying to tell you something. But we get comfortable in the positions we're in, and we think, well, this is my life. You can change your life, especially in this day and age. My grandparents did not realize that they could ever have but one profession, and they stayed with one profession their whole life. People now have a profession for so many years, and they change and do something else, and then they change and do something else. We live many lives in this generation that we're in than our parents or grandparents ever considered. You see, we can change any time. We can say, I want to be a doctor, and you could do that. Now your mind immediately, my mind would say to me, well, you're a little old, you should have gotten started sooner. But if you wanted to do it, you could do it. You see, you could do that. And that's the most marvelous thing about the world today. And the world today is growing faster and faster and faster. So we have to give up the old ideas that we were hoodwinked with. How many centuries did people live under the concept of a flat world? And they thought that was absolutely a flat world. Now, we still have flat world thinkers, by the way. But now we know that the world is not flat. So we took us centuries to get off that idea that it was flat. Now we come into a round, and oh, now we see that. But there has to be more. There has to be more. See, the mind wants to stop. As soon as it figures something out, there, oh, that's it. Oh, world used to be flat, now it's round. Oh, good. How do we know? So you have to know that there's another world. There has to be more worlds and more worlds. There has to be more to everything. Never stop with yourself and never stop thinking and so forth. Allow yourself to do what you want to do. How do you do that? Does anyone remember the greatest tool in your toolbox?
Mind.
Yes. Imagination. Use your imagination. That's how everything that exists today came into this world, by somebody using their imagination. When Moses took the Israelites out of Egypt and was in the desert for 40 years wandering around, the laws of aerodynamics existed, the law of gravity existed, telephone, the idea of a telephone existed. Everything existed then. Everything existed then. But it took all those centuries for man to finally say, oh, we can do this. So what else do you think we can do if we would give up the ideas that we have today? If we would stop allowing the world to convince us and condition us that this is happening and that is happening. I read recently where the pharmaceutical companies asked their people, and I know a pharmacist, I'll tell you that story in a moment, in a pharmaceutical, whatever those things are called, laboratory. They urged their people to invent new diseases so that they can sell more pills, they can come up with a pill. My friend who works he's a scientist, a research scientist in St. Louis I can't remember the name of the company right now. Well, anyway, his wife was talking to me. I went to college with the wife. And she said, oh, Dallas, not only do I know the woman who invented the little purple pill. She said she also invented that disease. There's no such thing as reflex, but whatever that is, till she invented it, so she could sell the pill. We have to get over those things. We have to say to ourselves, "Ah, I'm not going to listen." How many people remember a couple years ago, maybe 5, 10 years ago, that horrible commercial about restless leg syndrome? Mm-hmm. Do you ever hear restless leg syndrome anymore? It didn't go over so big, you know. They didn't sell enough pills, so they got rid of that one. Now they're going to come up with another one. You see? Don't let that happen to you. Learn to think for yourself. Learn to see yourself the way you want to be. Learn to do the things that you want to do. Your mind is capable of doing all those things, but we have to get out of being hoodwinked, of having these blinders on, that we think the world is the way it is. The world is not the way it is. The world is what you are thinking about. There's a vast amount of knowledge out there for the asking. So ask. Say to yourself, how can I think differently? How can I do this differently? How can I have what I want to have? And the main reason, I think I said that earlier, that people don't get what they want is they never give themselves permission to have it. They're waiting for somebody else to say it's all right to do that. It's all right for you to do that. You have to give yourself permission. The same way with the woman on Saturday. She has to give herself permission to be wonderful. She may not have heard it from a lot of people, but now she knows that she can do it for herself. You have to do it for yourself. I don't know, when I grew up, I don't think my mother and father would ever have said to me, "Oh, Dallas, you're wonderful." I don't think so. If they did, I failed to hear it. But then they didn't hear it. You see, we have to get out of this type of conditioned thinking. So how do you do that? By watching the movements of your mind. By watching the movements of your mind. What is your mind telling you? And if it's not telling you what you want, you don't have to listen to it. You do not have to listen to it. The same way you can say to a friend, you can ask a friend a question. They don't give you the answer you want, you can say, "Well, that was very nice, but that isn't the answer I want. That isn't the answer I want." So you can ask this thing called God, this thing called the universe. You can ask questions. You will receive answers to your questions. So give up the idea that you cannot do anything. You can do anything that you want. And we're coming closer and closer to realizing that there's so many things out there today, books and stuff, and people that we never had in my generation, that absolutely now believe that consciousness creates reality. That consciousness creates the material world that we live in. It's your consciousness that's doing that. How many people remember this one? And I still hear this with people. "Oh, well, that's mind over matter." Do you know that saying, mind over matter? Well, there's no such thing as mind over matter. It's all mind. So it has to be mind over mind. You see, it has to be mind over mind. But we have been drilled with that little saying all our lives, and it still pops up, doesn't it? "Oh, that's mind over matter." No, it's always mind over mind. It's your mind. It's my mind. It's the mind of the universe. And everything in the universe is connected. I don't care how or what you think, and I don't know how it's done, but it's absolutely connected. Now, one more thing about the idea of a whole field of potentiality and this thing of quantum physics is, quantum physics is non-local. What does that mean, non-local? That means when I do an experiment here and I put two elements together, then immediately those two elements are together all over the world. In every laboratory in the world, they change without travel. It's non-local. That's why when you think, it's non-local. You use your mind all the time and you don't know how to die. Let me show you how about non-local. You know perfectly well if you sit long enough and think about a friend, a relative or something, they'll call you on the telephone. And they will say to you, oh, I was thinking about you. And you will say, oh, I was thinking about you. You went nowhere. What happened? It's non-local. It's non-local. There's no wires going out and doing it like we have. Eventually, we'll be able to do that. Eventually, we'll get rid of all these wires. I hope I live long enough. I just really detest wires. There's too many of them everywhere. Connecting law. You can connect everything without wires. So do that for yourself. Do that for yourself. It's the only way that we're going to change this world. Because we need a new concept of the world. We need a new concept of who we are and what we are. We have been browbeaten into thinking that the world is still flat. And the world is not flat. It is a wonderful, wonderful place to live. Learn to live with it. Learn to have fun with it. Learn to see what you want to see. And affirm all these things, you know. Try them. Experiment. That's what all life's about, is an experiment, you see. You can do anything you want. You can do anything with your mind. With your mind. You know, I tell you all the time, I have roses now growing. I have a few zinnias left. But my houseplants, I talk to them all the time. And they just grow and grow and grow and grow and grow. And I tell them how much I love them and all that kind of stuff. Now, sometimes I talk out loud to them. Sometimes I just think those thoughts. But what I do when I go by my plants, I touch them. And say, oh, thank you. Thank you. What is causing that to happen? Consciousness. They're connected. Plants are alive. They have the same life in them that we do. They just can't walk around. They don't have legs. It's only different. They don't have legs. And we look at, well, it's just a plant. Plants are the most wonderful things in the world. They bring so much into this world. So much into this world. Does anyone remember Emoto? The man's last name is Emoto. Well, of course, he's Japanese. And he did a wonderful thing with consciousness with water. You know, water does everything. He was able to crystallize water. And if he talked to the water and scolded and so forth, the crystals were ugly. If he complimented them and told him he loved them, the crystals were beautiful. Now, why is that so important to know? Because we're more than 70% water. This body is just a sack of water. Why else is that so important to know? The air in front of you has water in it. There's nowhere we don't find water. So if you can influence water, you can influence anything. You can influence anything. I have a Brita filter in my refrigerator. On a 3x5 card, I write on, "I love you." And I stick it to the side of the water. So, I'm changing that water. I'm drinking that water. Therefore, I have to be changing also. I have to be changing all. We're all connected. Everything is connected. The ancients used to think of water as God, because water seeks the lowest level. It will wear down anything, and it will seep in to anything. And God, or this power, this consciousness, if you allow it, will seep into you. Will seep into you. So use that as an affirmation, or as a visualization. Say, "Oh, it's seeping into me. It's seeping into me." Instead of getting on your knees and praying to God and so forth, why don't you say, "God is seeping into me. God is just seeping every, you know, through me." Try it. You see, you have to experiment with all this stuff. And then you'll find it's fun. And you'll also find that it absolutely works. It absolutely works. Try that. We have consciousness. You know, I told you how many times I look at my refrigerator, right? I love to look at my refrigerator. I love to see the food in there. And I said, "Oh, thank you. How abundant I am. I have all this wonderful food in this refrigerator. I love that light comes on, you know, lights everything up." I'm like, "Oh, isn't that nice?" And I keep my refrigerator organized. I just don't throw things in there. I keep it nice. When I get something out of my refrigerator, I say, "Oh, thank you. Thank you. I have this to eat." And I put my consciousness into that food. And I thank that food. And when I buy a chicken, I certainly thank the chicken for giving up its life for me. Now, that may sound dumb and stupid, but you'll find that you'll be healthier by doing that, by being conscious of what you're eating, and by blessing what you're eating, and by realizing that it's life giving up itself for life, and it just keeps going and going and going and going and going. And then the most marvelous thing to remember about food, not only the taste and the smells and the colors, all the beautiful things that I like about food, when I eat food, I think, "Now, where's that going to go? Is that going to become my fingernail? Is it going to become my hair? What is it going to become?" It has to become something. There is no scientist living today who can explain to you how food is transmuted into skin, into hair, into a fingernail. Do not take it for granted. It's doing marvelous things for you. And food is a wonderful thing. For years, people, you celebrate with food. You do all kinds of things with food. It has a consciousness. Food has a consciousness. So put your consciousness in there and thank it for doing what it does for you. I believe if you do that, you will be healthier. You will be healthier. And so, did you ever see some people? They're not giving one thought to that food. They're not giving one thought to that food. Food is God. Food is God. Everything is God. So water, food, all those things. Think of those things in your life when you're doing things. And learn to bless everything and see everything as a blessing. And it will be a blessing. And it's wonderful. And so are you, and so am I. And there ends the lesson. Thank you.
Thank you.